Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
All right, coming up on today's show in a few minutes, for those of you who are listening on radio and podcast, and our video audience got a bit of a sneak preview on this, but for our radio and podcast audience, coming up in a couple of minutes, an SEC Network analyst is going to explain live here on these airwaves, why he thinks DeAndre Swift is going to win the Heisman Trophy here in the 2019 season. That's going to be a fun conversation. We'll do that coming up. Before then, though, a lot of recruiting talk, and much of this is generated by Jeff Sintel, either his reporting over the course of the last couple of months or his big, bold statements yesterday as a part of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. You all pretty much know the immediate timeline because we've talked about it here a good bit now. Georgia is launching its way towards a major recruiting weekend with a list as long as my arm of five stars who are going to be in attendance and very highly rated four stars and prospects of note for the 2021 class. I would invite you just either go to the forum at forum.dognation.com, check out a Sintel Intel at dognation.com. I'm sure there's going to be some stuff about that. Go back and watch yesterday's edition of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger if you didn't see it, to just kind of acquaint yourself with the list of guys who are expected to be on campus this weekend. There was a big one of those, and we'll get to that coming up in just a moment, but it also kind of sets the stage for us for what's going to happen on Monday. July 29th is one of those dates we've had circled for a long time, and much the same way many of us remember June 27th from a couple of years ago as being the date that Zamir White committed to UGA. One of these days, July 29th, might have the same kind of, I don't know if there's a date hall of fame for UGA recruiting observers, but July 29th might also be one of those if Kendall Milton does indeed pull the trigger and give some good news to the good guys on Monday night when he makes his college decision. Obviously, there is plenty of reason to feel good about Georgia here. Admittedly, Ohio State fans coming off that visit to Columbus, they were probably feeling pretty good there too for a while, but for some Georgia fans, there's a little bit of confidence here. And as you think about this big recruiting weekend upcoming for Georgia, you can't take your eyes off the fact that it all serves as the appetizer for what might be the Milton news potentially on Monday. So let me deal with Kendall for a moment, kind of remind folks, why there's already been some excitement about him potentially choosing Georgia, and that'll lead us to another discussion about another five-star running back. First of all, Kendall Milton's been on campus. He was there for G-Day. He's been back. He had his official visit, and as he's told Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel, it's really the feeling that he gets on the UGA campus that I think has kept Georgia very much in the thick of the running for his services. Here is Milton from the very recent past with our buddy Jeff.
Georgia, that was a visit that, every time you get there, you kind of learn more and learn more about the school and the program. It's been nothing but good for me. They gave me a plan of how, they would use me and the timing of everything that be put into place. So Georgia, that was definitely a special visit.
So definitely a special visit. You love that idea. I don't think any UGA fan was surprised by that. There's just been a good vibe around the Milton family and UGA for seemingly quite some time. And, obviously one of the things you try to do is not get your hopes up too much, not get too excited. But because, listen, anything can happen in recruiting. I told the folks on the radio in Athens this past week when I was on with the morning show there that, nothing shocks you in recruiting. Anything can happen. Milton choosing some other school, it's certainly a strong possibility. And yet there's a reason why Georgia fans have just liked this guy for such a long time and just really, really hope that that he does choose Georgia when he picks on Monday, because he just sort of feels like a dog. The way that he talks, the way that he kind of goes about his business, it just kind of feels like he'd fit right in at UGA with the great legacy of running backs this program has had. Guys who are in the NFL now, like Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, guys from the recent past or distant past even, maybe even like the great Herschel Walker. There's a long lineage of UGA running backs, and Milton just looks like the next iteration of that. And in fact, when Milton's talked to Jeff, he has talked about how impressed he has been with what he has seen from the Georgia running backs, especially the ones that have been coached by Del McGee. Here's more from Milton on that.
I saw your tweet where you referenced Sony and Todd and Nick Chubb.
Oh, yeah, it's huge to me, especially Coach McGee, coaching a majority of those backs. So it just shows that he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get people to the league, and that's my end goal that I want. So, that attracts me.
So listen, you don't need me to tell you what to think about that. Milton's obviously said some very complimentary things about George along the way, and for fans, that's incredibly nice to hear. But with Monday, July 29th looming, let me also kind of pivot this conversation just a bit, because there was something else that Kendall Milton said at the opening, and he said similar things like this to Jeff Sintel. There are two video interviews up with Jeff and Milton. You can check those out on the Dog Nation video pages. But there is something else that Milton has kind of said that I think gets UGA fans really excited. Now, when this video first came out, it went viral because Milton accidentally said something about, you know, taking carries in the SEC. And for some people in the national media, that was treated as Milton tipping his hand about one of the schools he might go to, essentially eliminating the non-SEC schools from discussion on that. I explained at the time that I wasn't quite so sure it was quite as cut and dry as some people thought. Sometimes a slip of the tongue is just a slip of the tongue. So don't think about that in this clip as much, but think about the way that Milton very enthusiastically explains his willingness, maybe even desire, to play with another top flight running back. This is certainly the hallmark of modern running backs. Milton seems to embody that. And as a reminder, here is what Milton has said on that subject.
That's easy. You know, we have all these little group chats and everything. So all the running backs, we all talk. I talk to almost every player. So we all talk. We try to put together these super teams, you know. So, you know, getting two running backs, that's not a hard thing to do, considering that, you know, social media and everything, we all talk on the daily.
But would you play with another five-star?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. For me, I view it as, you know, keeping tread on your tires, because being a running back in the SEC is a tough job. So having somebody to, you know, carry the load with you, that's a good thing.
So you're going to an SEC school?
What was that?
You're going to an SEC school?
Oh, no. I don't know. Yeah, we're going to see what happens.
So I'm going to take Milton at his word there on that at the end when he says, I don't know where I'm going to go. We're going to see what happens. Has he made up his mind by now? He very likely has. But I'm going to take him at his word on the I don't know. We'll see what happens with his college decision. I won't read too much into his saying there about the SEC school. However, I am going to read a little bit into something else that he said in that clip there. You know, if Milton comes to Georgia, he is almost for sure going to be playing with another top flight running back in this 2020 class. Very highly rated four-star prospect, maybe. But Milton also kind of spins it forward and says, what about the five-star? What about being joined by another running back who's also in my caliber in terms of a tandem that feels very much like what Sony Michel and Nick Chubb felt like? Milton uses the phrase here. He is asked about the idea of a five-star running back, but Milton's phrasing on this, I think, is far more interesting. He says, we're trying to build a super team, or we talk about the possibility of building a super team. Super team's a different kind of thing. That's Milton playing with a player just as good as Milton, just as highly regarded. With that in mind, is there truly, really a legit chance that if Georgia gets Milton on Monday, it might also get another five-star running back as a part of the 2020 class? Well, here is what Jeff Sintel said on that subject yesterday on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger, and the potential five-star running back that we might be talking about here.
And that name, Zachary Evans there, I've got good information that he is planning to be at Georgia as well. And I think that's the thing people want to read about. I think people want to see what's going on there with Zachary Evans, because it is a tangled web right there. Tank's not confirmed for this weekend yet because he's working through some things. I think he might see both Auburn and Georgia. I don't know if South Carolina's having any sort of event this weekend to kind of draw him in. Folks will see that and they wonder about Zachary Evans. What does that mean? Does that mean things with Tank? What does that mean with Tank and Zach Evans? Folks, here's the kind of simple way to put this, and this is the way we chop it up on the Dog Nation forum. They're going to sign the very best players they possibly can. Period. And I even said on the forum, I think right now the staff doesn't care about where they're from or where they're rated. Maybe the only things Georgia looks for now is an alpha type player that is also really strong in the classroom. But Zachary Evans, the information I'm hearing right now is that expect to see him in Athens this weekend.
I mean, every Georgia fan's going to be very, very excited to hear that news. I'm excited to hear that news because I love the idea of Evans being potentially paired with Milton if Milton were to indeed choose UGA. I've also told y'all before, I'm fascinated by the soap opera recruiting and the kind of three-dimensional chess that sometimes goes on to put a class like this together. And admittedly, my own life, I'm fairly risk-averse. I'm not the kind of guy that has a lot of credit card debt. I'm not the kind of guy that has, you know, a lot of get-rich-quick schemes. I save my money. I spend sometimes frugally. I'm pretty risk averse in the way that I live my life. Simple, straightforward, safe investment strategies for the most part. I'm just kind of a risk averse person. If I was Kirby Smart and I had the potential of taking the Tank Bigsby ride now, I might do that just given the fact that I'm just sort of a risk-averse person. I don't necessarily want to roll the dice to see what happens with Zachary Evans. But admittedly, Kirby Smart just may be bolder than I am when it comes to stuff like this. And as Jeff Sintel pointed out in our program, given what Georgia's competing against, Alabama, who's as a juggernaut, doesn't seem to be slowing down right now. Clemson, who has a juggernaut, seems to only be picking up steam. If you're Georgia and you want to compete with that, you got to swing for the fences. You've got to use the golf analogy. You can't lay up. You got to go for the green. And that's probably the right strategy here. And it seems to be one that right now Georgia's very much in the thick of. It's going to be a fun next few days. We'll hear one way or another about Kendall Milton come Monday. And apparently, as Jeff Sintel reported yesterday, Zachary Evans coming up to Georgia this weekend. Two 5-star running backs for Georgia here in this 2020 class. Seemingly, if anyone can do it, Del McGee and UGA would seem to be a pretty good candidate. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com, Apple, Google, everything else in between. By the way, speaking of DogNation.com, I want to keep driving you there for more information about our Dog Nation Days of Summer. We updated the page on this again yesterday to let you know that the great former Georgia Bulldog himself, Scott Warner, is going to be there and be with us. He can tell stories about his heroic play in the 1980 National Championship season, including the great Sugar Bowl win over Notre Dame. I'm sure he's got some thoughts about the Fighting Irish coming into Athens this year. Scott's obviously got a great connection to the current team as well. He's got a strong perspective on all of that. He'll deal with that. With us coming up on Dog Nation Days of Summer, it's just an incredible time to be able to announce him as a part of Dog Nation Days of Summer. A great storyteller. The public event begins that night at 6 p.m. We'd love to have you be a part of it. And if you're in the North Georgia area, you're driving over to see us. Remember this, you know, if you're not planning on staying that night, I do have a couple small spots left. I mean, a very limited number of spots left in our VIP reception that night for some folks just driving over for the day. You can go to dognationhelp@gmail.com and find out how you might be able to reserve one of those. We only have just a couple of those, though, so get in on that quick. dognationhelp@gmail.com or at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa coming up on Thursday, August 1st. Let me also do one more quick announcement on this front here for a second as well. You may remember our friends Jerry and the guys over there at westgeorgiacornhole.com who designed those officially licensed UGA cornhole boards, and they were autographed by the great former Georgia running back Nick Chubb. Well, believe it or not, we've actually got a set of these autographed by Chubb himself we're going to be giving away. Yeah, take a look at that there on your screen for those of you watching on video. And I apologize if you're listening right now, you don't get to see this. But this is a beautiful set of cornhole boards, a fantastic signature by our buddy Nick Chubb, the great former Georgia running back. So that's on tap for you. Someone's going to walk away a big winner of that at Dog Nation Days of Summer. Just one of the ways that we're making this event so much fun. And we invite you to be a part of it. Coming up a week from today, Thursday, August 1st, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, DogNation.com for more details. All right, before I say hello to Chris Doering from the SEC Network, let me also go around the doghouse, brought to you today by our friends at Online Trading Academy. And I just talked about Zachary Evans a moment ago. Many of you had some fun with me yesterday when Jeff revealed that Evans, along with 5-star defensive lineman Jordan Birch, who we've talked about now a few times here on this show, when Jeff revealed that they were going to be at the big weekend recruiting event for UGA, I had quite a reaction. I made a very odd noise. Some of you had wanted to hear this, so by all means, mock me, make fun of me for having this reaction to that news.
By way of the magic of streaming video, let me show you some of these names on your screen here, and we'll talk about a few of these right now. Oh, wow. Are you kidding me off the top here? You going to tell me that Jordan Birch is indeed coming, and maybe even more interesting than that, I would say definitely more interesting than that, you're going to tell me that Zachary Evans is going to be at the cookout this weekend? That's a stop-the-presses piece of news right there, Jeff.
I couldn't recreate that noise if I tried to. What in the world was that?
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me off the top here?
I mean, sometimes you just got to kind of laugh at yourself there a little bit. That is really good. And good job by y'all for capturing that and saving that for posterity's sake. It's good news. It'll be a fun thing to watch. I'll do more on Jordan Burch coming up in just a little bit and his presence and kind of what this weekend might mean for UGA. We've also got some fun stuff coming up as well. Before that, though, let me remind you, as I said before, that Around the Doghouse is brought to you by friends at Online Trading Academy. You know, we talk here on this program a lot about being a winner, winning the battles for recruits, winning the games on the field. Well, in life, you want to be a winner too, and that means making sure you got enough money in your pocket, because let's face it, it's the money to buy things that makes you feel like a winner, and that means understanding how the markets work and finding a way to make those work for you. That's what Online Trading Academy provides. Across a variety of trading styles and through a spectrum of asset classes, they can make you an expert on making money in the markets, and they provide a lot of different ways for you to learn in the classroom and online. So please reach out to them at this website address. It's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. And I always say this too fast, so let me make sure you know. That's trading with a D, trading, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. It's great to have Online Trading Academy as a part of Around the Doghouse, and it's great to have you with us on the program here today. And I hope you enjoy the SEC Network analyst, Chris Doering. And I love to watch him on the SEC Network. I love his opinions on college football, and it's always fun to have him back here on Dog Nation Daily once again as well. It is Chris Doering, and Chris, we welcome you back to our program. We hope your summer's going well. I know you've been a little bit busy. We saw you last week at SEC Media Day, so you've been kind of hoofing it a bit as of late. But nonetheless, I hope you've gotten a little downtime as we head towards the start of the season.
Yeah, good morning. It's good to be back on with you, and all of this excitement and busyness means that college football is right around the corner, so I'm ecstatic about where we are. It's been kind of a dry off season, man, as this time typically is, so it's good to crank things up, man.
So let's start with this before we kind of get into anything else. You made some headlines the other day. I know a lot of Georgia fans reacted to this, too, when you went on the radio and made your case for why you think DeAndre Swift, obviously the Georgia running back, can win the Heisman Trophy here this season. I'm sure you've been asked about this a number of times, but for a lot of people in our audience maybe just hearing this for the first time now, would you mind making your case for Swift a little bit? And obviously for a lot of our folks, it becomes even more interesting because, you know, of you know, who you are and what you think about this. So would you mind kind of sharing some of your thoughts with us on that?
Yeah, no problem at all. I mean, obviously, I know it's a little bit of a long shot. I know he's got a teammate that's probably more of the favorite to win the Heisman and Jake Fromm than DeAndre Swift is. But there's something about this guy, and I know he played a lot of the first half of the year injured last year, and that hurt his numbers and his value to the team early in the season. But as he got healthier, as the season wore on, you got to see a little bit more of exactly who he was. Because remember, in the season before, we're talking about a guy that was the third running back that came in most situations on third down. The reason that I have him as my Heisman, the guy that I'm cheering for to win the Heisman this year, that I think has a legitimate shot, is because he's a dual-purpose back. I mean, I know that backfield is crowded there in Athens, but this is a guy that can be your number one back. We saw his versatility in the receiving game, what he's able to do in terms of not only catching the ball out of the backfield, but lining up in the slot, moving around, and creating matchups that are advantageous in one-on-one receiving situations. So I think this is a guy, if he's healthy, he's got the ability to pick up the tough yards for you, but more importantly, he's got that breakaway speed that you need to put up big numbers and have some of those highlights that are going to garner some Heisman attention.
Let me ask you a couple follow-ups on that, if you don't mind. With apologies to Derrick Henry, it seems like this award's been kind of a quarterback's award now for quite some time. Because Georgia does run the ball so much and has made running backs such the focal point of the offense, does that kind of additional brand cachet give Swift a chance to win this award in the way that maybe another back on another team might not quite get? Georgia might be a national championship contender, in other words, led because of the fact that it does like to use running backs behind a big offensive line. Does that brand give Swift a little bit of a push here?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. I think the style of play gives it a little bit of push. I mean, everything that we're talking about here in the preseason about how Georgia's offensive line is the best in the conference and maybe the best in the country, it also helps to garner that argument. So I think the style of play, the fact that Georgia loses their top five receivers, leads me to believe that not only they're going to lean a little bit more heavy on the run game, as they probably would have anyway, but also They're going to have to find a guy that's dependable to catch the ball out of the backfield, too. I think that's why you get the dual kind of numbers that DeAndre Swift's going to be able to put up. But, yeah, I think you're definitely right about what the perception is nationally about the type of offense that Georgia's going to run and what stirs the drink in terms of the offensive production. Jake Fromm has been solid in more of a game manager role. I mean, he's a guy that with no offense to some of those great Alabama quarterbacks, including my colleague Greg McElroy, that game manager title is one that is viewed as a negative. And I think that Georgia's in a similar situation, although Fromm is a guy that I think is going to have a much more productive season. I've actually said I have him as a better prospect in the NFL than Tua Tagovailoa, but at this point in time, it still is an offense that runs through the running backs.
So let me take it to Fromm then for a minute and kind of play off what you just said there, because I can imagine there may be a listener to our conversation right now who may say, ooh, it'd be great to have DeAndre Swift as a Heisman winner for Georgia, and yet when you look at what Tua has done for Alabama, when you look at what Trevor Lawrence has done for Clemson, or that string of Oklahoma quarterbacks, if you had your choice of which one you'd want to win the Heisman Trophy, some Georgia fans might pick Fromm, not because they like him better, just because, you know, quarterbacks have been the engine that has driven these prolific offenses and in some respects led their teams to national championships. Would it be better for Georgia if it was Fromm that emerged as the Heisman candidate with that in mind?
I don't know if it's better. I think it's more likely, given the fact that the quarterbacks do get all the attention these days, the numbers that are able to be put up at that position because of the lean towards the passing game kind of nationally across the landscape of college football. But I do think that this is an important year for him. I mean, he gets a chance to step up as an upperclassman. He's already been a leader. I mean, I remember that drive in the Rose Bowl. I was standing on the sideline watching Jake Fromm bring his team back from a deficit in the college football semifinals. Just he knew all that season. He just had the respect of his teammates and had that it factor that you talk about at the quarterback position. So I'm anxious to see him take a step forward. I think it's key that James Coley continues to bring some steady voice, a guy that's been in that quarterback room with him now for a while and can help bridge the gap with Chaney departing to Knoxville. So I don't know if it's a better situation. I will admit that it is more likely, given the importance of the quarterback these days in college football. But I think Georgia fans would be pretty happy with either of those guys hoisting the Heisman Trophy in December.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. Let me pull back and talk about a couple of other issues for a moment. As I mentioned before, you were at SEC Media Days last week in Hoover, Alabama, and you're obviously very familiar with the dominant narrative surrounding UGA. They are among the national elite and the fact that they're almost for sure going to be the preseason number three team, and yet there is still at least a little bit of distance based on actual truth or perception with Alabama and Clemson. And from our perspective here, it seems like there are probably three big issues that Georgia's got to solve this season. You talk about the inexperience at wide receiver. You got to find some guys who can make plays for you there. Georgia has not been effective enough at rushing the passer, and maybe, as Kirby Smart talked with the havoc plays, the tackles for loss, things like that, haven't done enough of that. And I would also add to that that maybe surprisingly to some, Georgia was not great last year in stopping the run, gave up more rushing yards than some people might realize. Chris, when you look at Georgia's ability to really threaten Alabama, contend with Clemson, be back in the college football playoff, quite possibly do more than that, how much would issues like that cause you to want to pump the brakes on what Georgia can be this season in comparison to its top competition?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has questions this time of year. And Georgia, obviously, there's some legitimate concerns about the top five pass catchers being gone. But I do think there's a lot of young talent that hadn't had a chance to step up. And that's what college football is about. I mean, you know, everybody moves on at some point, and the next guy comes in and gets his opportunity. So I do think that they'll be all right in the pass receiving game. More, you know, and Kirby and everybody around the Georgia program has talked about the defensive line having the ability to win more one-on-one battles, to be more explosive off the edge. So I'm confident that Kirby's going to be able to generate that. I was concerned about the run game last year. I mean, I've talked about Missouri as a team that's kind of my dark horse team in the East. I think that's a popular selection now, given what I heard in Hoover last week. But I point to that first half of that Georgia game last year where Missouri really had their way up front with Georgia's defensive front. They were able to run the ball right at Georgia, and it's not for, you know, I think the block punt and the strip, I believe that was a return for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's a different game at halftime. So I do think there is some concern in that respect. But my biggest concern about Georgia is the mental hurdle that you got to get over. And I can speak to this. I know your fans are probably not going to want to hear Florida talk, but I remember my times at Florida. You know, I got to Florida in 91, Coach Berger's second year, and that was kind of the growth of getting to that next level. You know, we got to the Sugar Bowl in 91 and got blown out by Notre Dame because we didn't really understand how to handle that situation. Come back 2 years later and blow out West Virginia in the Sugar Bowl. Lose the SEC Championship game in 92 to Alabama and pull off four in a row the next time around. Get to the National Championship game my senior year and get blown out by Nebraska. And then the next year the Florida team gets back and wins it all, beating FSU in the Sugar Bowl. So I do think there's a progression that goes along with a growth of a program. And Kirby made that curve a lot shorter than probably a lot of us thought it was going to be. But still, I think there's some value in losing and learning how to finish. Georgia dominated Alabama for the majority of the last two times they've played, but yet have nothing to show for it. So I think that drive certainly is there because they haven't been able to overcome it. I think the confidence has got to be there because they've matched the physicality, they've matched the speed, they've matched the skill of Alabama. Now it's just that little mental thing of finishing that they got to get over. And I know that's been the focus for Kirby all offseason.
Let me finish with this, if you don't mind. You mentioned your alma mater, the Florida Gators. When I look at Florida this season, I've got great respect for some of those defensive guys, Jabari Zuniga included. Secondary should be really strong. You have to say they've got some pieces on defense. I like some of their wide receivers there as well. I think they've got some talent in that position group. Admittedly, though, Chris, I think if you're a Florida fan, you would have pretty big concerns with the offensive line right now. You know, I'm not quite so sure in Felipe Franks' ability to take that next step, given what I thought were some accuracy issues a year ago. Admittedly, for many of the people who are watching or listening to our show right now, that might be wishful thinking, though. When you look at the pros and cons of Florida as almost certainly a preseason top 10 team, but trying to be a legit threat to Georgia after losing by 19 points a year ago, how much do you think Florida might have closed the gap heading into Dan Mullen's second year on the job?
There is a lot of confidence around Gainesville, around Gator Nation, and those in the media that like Florida. And as you mentioned, there's some serious deficiencies as you head into training camp. You're losing four or five starters on the offensive line. You're thin in the secondary, particularly on the corner positions. It is a question mark about Felipe Franks as well. But all of those things are masked because I believe the confidence that everybody has in Dan Mullen is sky high. I mean, think about it. Last year, I went to camp multiple times in the preseason, and that offensive line was not good at all. They were dominated every single scrimmage I watched. They gave up tons of penalties. And Dan Mullen was not only able to make it a manageable situation with them, he actually turned that into a little bit of a strength at times with the play calling that they utilized. I point to that Mississippi State game. They were way overmatched with the best defensive front in the country, and they neutralized that advantage because of the quick screens and what Dan Mullen was able to do to force that defensive line to run sideline to sideline. And then later in the third quarter and into the fourth, they were able to run right at him because of the fatigue factor that had set in. So I think Dan Mullen does a great job in terms of scheming, play calling, and then and his effect on the quarterback. I mean, I think that's why everybody is so high on Felipe Franks. And you're right. There's a lot of questions. I think he still forces balls at times. I still think there's some accuracy issues at times. I question sometimes the decision-making. But it was a lot better last year than it was in 2017, and I think everybody is thinking that if he can have that sort of impact in one season, imagine what the cumulative effect is going to be in two seasons now with Felipe and Dan Mullen heading into their second year together.
Chris, it is a fascinating conversation, and it gets us even more excited for the upcoming season. We appreciate you being a part of that with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We'll look forward to watching you a bunch this fall on the SEC Network. I've told you before, I love that Saturday night show that you guys have been doing with those extended highlights after the games. It's just a great way to catch up on everything that's going on. And when you pop in there on SEC Now and stuff like that, start sharing your opinions. I just think that's a really good time. So thanks for making the falls fun there on the SEC Network, and we appreciate you being with us here today.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate the work that you guys do. It really helps us in terms of our preparation and getting to know what's going on there in Athens. So keep up the good work there, too.
Thank you so much, Chris. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, man.
Really good stuff there. Chris Doering from the SEC Network. And I'm going to put my objectivity hat on, as I guess as much as I possibly can for a moment, because I do think what Doering said about Florida is incredibly interesting. And obviously, I have made my case 1,000 times for both why I enjoy as a fan being a Gator hater, but also to the extent that I can be an analyst, why I think that Florida has got some issues that I'm not sure they can address. However, to pull back from that just for a moment and just kind of view this objectively here, as or at least objectively as you possibly can, it is incredibly fascinating that Georgia and Florida have decided to go about their business in such different ways, contrasting styles here. I mean, you heard Chris Doering articulate what I believe a lot of Florida fans believe, that issues along the offensive line, quarterback who you're not 100% sure about yet, whatever else, that this can be made up for by the fact they just believe that Dan Mullen can out-scheme Kirby Smart on the field or any coach of, you know, like Kirby Smart, but we'll keep it to the Florida-Georgia comparison right now because that's the battle that'll determine the SEC East almost for sure. They just believe that Mullen can outcoach Smart. Many Florida fans do. I think that's fascinating. Say the same thing about Todd Grantham as well, and you can keep your, you know, jokes to yourself on this for a moment because obviously Georgia fans lived through that Grantham era at Georgia. Not all of them loved that, but they really feel it was a major coup to keep Grantham and not have him take that. Was it the Cincinnati Bengals that he almost took the defensive coordinator job this offseason? I mean, Florida has drawn its line in the sand. They believe they're going to outcoach it because from a talent standpoint, they do not line up with Georgia. From a talent standpoint, there's a lot more of that kind of classic 4- and 5-star elite player, elite raw materials. There's just way more of that in Athens. And I believe that's really the pathway towards winning championships. Florida seems to think they're going to be able to coach up their players and have them become better than Georgia. I believe that's the wrong path. I believe that's the wrong philosophy. But Florida seemingly is fully committed to it. And one way or another, somebody's going to get proven right and somebody's going to get proven wrong when these two teams play later on this season. And don't you know there's going to be a lot of tension in the air heading towards that game. It is great to have you with us today as a part of Dog Nation Daily.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Fruit.
Really, really fun to have Chris Doering as part of our program. Really enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. He is a terrific analyst and someone that I just have a great time chatting with. It was good to have him as part of our program here today. Let me transition now, though, and do our SEC through. And as I do, let me remind you of my friends at Meriwether and Tharp. And, you know, Meriwether and Tharp provides a specific service. They help people through what can be one of the most troubling times you can go through. And hopefully you don't ever have to experience the pain and the confusion of divorce. But if you do, if you've been through this in the past, I think you can probably speak from a first-person perspective about just how much you either wish you did have someone on your side or how glad you were to have Meriwether and Tharp on your side. Many people can tell those stories of the kind of advocacy that they provide for you. So if you think that you might be in this situation, you've done everything you can to avoid that, but it seems now unavoidable, let me invite you to check out Meriwether and Tharp. This may be your first time going through this, but Meriwether and Tharp has been through this thousands of times with thousands of clients. And, you know, there is a way to be made whole again. There is a way to be brought back together again, but you need someone to give you the help that you need. So please go to theatlantadivorceteam.com for more information on that. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com, and that'll get you in touch with Meriwether and Tharp, and they will set you up on a path that's going to lead to the kind of resolution, the best possible resolution in this situation. It's theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, couple things here SEC through-wise. Let me start with this. Pete DeMel is a longtime reporter. He's worked at a number of different places, working at Yahoo Sports now, and one of the things that Pete was recently quoted as saying that based on some college football administrator types that he's spoken to, he thinks that the future of college football conferences is going to get smaller and not bigger. You know, there's always a lot of talk about conference expansion, and when the SEC went from 10 to 12 in the early 90s, when it went from 12 to 14 back in 2012, that's kind of a fascinating college football soap opera. And sometimes you wonder, well, is there another round of that coming, especially right now when a conference like the Big 12 has fewer than 12 schools? It is a small conference, so small that it almost seems weird to even have a conference championship game. Well, what Thamel apparently has been told by a college football administrator is that he thinks it's more likely that in the future a team is kicked out of a conference than anybody else going to be added to a new conference. And given the fact that there's a little bit of a seemingly hard cap right now on television contracts and things of that nature, given that is the situation, this seems to make all the sense in the world. I'll make a very dated rock and roll reference. was the surviving members of Led Zeppelin. That's Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, and is John Paul Jones. Was that the third guy there in that who's still surviving? And years ago, when they were going to go back on tour, Page and Plant decided, hey, we're the stars of this band. We can make just as much money. We don't need this third guy siphoning off the ticket dollars we might be able to have. And from that standpoint, they just moved on without him. And I think the conference are going to do the same thing. And unfortunately, the SEC, I think there are a couple of pretty obvious examples of teams this league could probably do without. If you rebuilt the league from scratch right now, there's no way Ole Miss and Mississippi State would be in this league. You certainly wouldn't have two teams from the same state, and I'm not even sure you'd have either of those two teams. They're just way smaller than the rest of the teams in the league, and they're essentially siphoning off the dollars that otherwise would go to the rest of the league members. You're not kicking out Vanderbilt because you want the smart guy school in the conference. I just think there's a very good chance that in the future this is what it could look like, because at a certain point in time, you've made all the new dollars you can, and you have to fight over the dollars that are in the pie, and that means kicking some people out of the club. I could definitely see this happening. Sports Illustrated wrote an interesting piece the other day, kind of looking at the possibility of other teams outside of Alabama making the college football playoff, and obviously Georgia was kind of mentioned in this, and one of the things that was said about Georgia in here was, you know, Jake Fromm's ability to make the big throws and kind of provide Georgia what it needs in terms of, in comparison to what other quarterbacks have provided their team. And a moment ago, you may have heard Chris Doering here on this broadcast talk about Jake Fromm being a little bit of a game manager. He doesn't mean that in a critical way. He means that in complimentary fashion, I think, for how he has managed the games. And yet, I do think if we have an idea in our mind of what a game manager is, I think this piece of Sports Illustrated kind of reinforces to me what ultimately is true for winning a national championship. Georgia has got a talent advantage over virtually every team in college football. But when it plays against even competition, fair fights against evenly matched foes, that's what Alabama is, that's what Clemson is, that's what maybe Ohio State is, quite possibly Oklahoma, especially at the positions that matter most, those are slightly more fair fights. I think your quarterback matters more, and I have made a big case on that during the offseason that I don't mind you managing the game against the SEC foes that you're going to beat by 24 points, but you got to be the dynamic playmaker against those bigger and better opponents. And the good news is, you know, I believe I've watched Fromm closely enough over the last couple of years, especially in his best moments, to say that he is, in my opinion, far more than a game manager. But in 2019, it's a big opportunity for him to kind of go out and show people that and remove all that about that. The whole idea of do more is an idea that Georgia's dealing with all season long. And I think for Jake Fromm, there are a couple specific instances where he could do more, needs to do more, and that is make the big throws in the big games to remove all doubt about what his ultimate legacy as a Georgia quarterback is going to be. I believe that he can and will do this, and I think it's going to be a really fun thing to watch. We'll make that your SEC through. Let me do a couple things here in the time we have left. I will read this to you. Your video audience will get a chance to see this for yourself. The strangest thing in the world popped up on my Twitter feed. This is apparently the Georgia Tech strength and conditioning coach. Now, this video has gone viral, I believe, for all the wrong reasons. If you look at some of the replies to this, there are a lot of these sort of like, you know, big platforms. I even think like House of Highlights and stuff like this kind of grabbed a hold of this to kind of make this go viral for maybe not the reasons that Tech wants to. If you're listening radio podcast, there's a Tech player laying on the ground. He has a medicine ball between his legs, and they are two people just slugging the fool out of this medicine ball. The text from Edward Thompson, the strength coach, says, "Here at Georgia Tech," and this is where it gets weird, "we truly deeply care about the strength of your groin, and we attack it with extreme exaggerated passion." That shouldn't have been tweeted, right? I mean, that's a bad look, right? Georgia's rivals, UGA's rivals, have made things really easy on the Dogs as of late. The Paul Johnson era at Georgia Tech was a gift to UGA. The early stages of the Dan Mullen era have been a gift to UGA. Still have fond memories of Butch Jones and his trash can and his Champions of Life and his five-star hearts. As of now, Jeff Collins would seem to be following those footsteps. If this is the kind of outfit, the kind of shop he's running there in Atlanta, I don't know what that tells you about the future of Georgia Tech football. This is a very odd video. You can find it for yourself on Twitter. Maybe I'll put a link there to this. I don't think they got the good sense to delete this. But nonetheless, what an odd thing to be said there. A much better piece of video, though, is the one belonging to Georgia quarterback Dwan Mathis. Now, UGA shared this from their official account. By now, we've done a pretty good job here at Dog Nation of chronicling the return to full health for Mathis after his unexpected brain surgery. But how about the video that UGA puts out? I'm pretty sure most of the stuff that pops up on this Twitter feed is intentional, even if it's seemingly innocuous. Is that the right word? I'm pretty sure they did this on purpose. First of all, Dwan Mathis can really get up. If you're watching on video, you can see this for yourself. If not, Connor Riley wrote about this at DogNation.com. Really cool dunks off the glass here. All kinds of variety and array of dunks for Mathis, who, if you look closely enough at the video, you can see the scar on his head. But let me tell you something. The question is, when is he going to be 100%? That's more 100% than I'll ever be in my life. I don't know if that puts him ready for football contact. That's a slightly different thing. But if that's not 100% for Dwan Mathis, those kinds of dunks, then, boy, I'd love to see what 100% for him really looks like. He has had such a courageous battle coming through what was a health scare for him, and I just can't wait to see the next phase for him. Incredibly happy to see Mathis on his way to full health, and huge thanks to Georgia for showing that video. Now, one more thing before we get ready to wrap up. I talked about my funny reaction to the Zachary Evans, Jordan Burch news from Jeff yesterday on Before the Hedges. I also want to give you a follow-up. Here's a little bit more of Jeff kind of talking about what might be expected from Burch here this weekend. Apparently, still going to go to Clemson, but also coming to Georgia, too. Here's Jeff on that.
I'm expecting it to. He's going to see both of those visits. And it's funny because Georgia's event is kind of going to take place on Friday, Saturday. There'll be some spillover into Sunday. Never a bad thing when your trip to Athens spills over into Sunday.
Yeah, listen, I think a lot of us have had those trips to Athens that have kind of spilled over into Sunday. And so for Jordan Burch, hopefully he gets to see what he wants from UGA. And, you know, speaking from the perspective of a fan who would like to have Burch as part of this class, I don't need him there for the entire weekend. But it's nice to get a chance to impress him, just given you got this kind of small window here before a lot of these visits shut down again with the start of these high school seasons coming up and the start of Georgia practice coming up as well. Nice to get this chance to impress him. And as I said before, you know, Georgia is fighting such a hand-to-hand combat war with the Clemsons and the Alabamas of the world for every prospect that it can get. You have got to get more than your fair share of these five-star guys if you want to beat them on the field. Now, Georgia at this point in time has done a really good job with that. My expectation is that can continue, and visits like these make that certainly a possibility. How about this good news? Gator Hater Updater, 999 days. You know what that means for tomorrow. We'll see you then right here on Dog Nation Daily.